Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of seven discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
From your blade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
We're good to go.
We're good to go.
Everybody feeling good?
Yeah,
I feel fine.
We still don't know what we're going to talk about, but that's no reason not to welcome people to the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. We got a. I'm Ben Kissel, Marcus Parks, Henry Zebrowski.
Hi.
We have some amazing guests with us today for My Favorite Murderer, Karen Kilgariff, and Georgia Hardstark.
Hi.
Thank you guys so much for being here. This is like a family reunion. It's like a holiday thing.
He's very bad at this. Is it Kilgariff?
It is Kilgariff.
Nice.
But you know
what the hell are you talking about?
Well, but
I've been doing this for years, Henry.
Exactly.
If you embarrass me in front of the guests.
Except for it's My Favorite Murderer.
Yeah, you got the name of the podcast on.
What did I call it?
My Favorite Murderer.
Oh, my God.
So.
We're starting over. Welcome to the show.
No,
we got two guests.
No.
We got Georgia Kilgariff and Karen Hardstark with us. They're from My Least Favorite Murderer. And what a show it's going to be.
You know the podcast? The podcast is very powerful right now.
Mm.
And the thing
God.
Is, right now, both of us, we're on top of the charts. We're the best that can be in the genre. And we know
technically,
that.
Technically, they're on top of the charts.
They are
just,
on top
like,
of the charts.
Their
that's
butts.
That's fine. I'm fine with sniffing the butt. Because that's what I do.
No, God. Podcasts are the wave of the fucking future, and we are like cresting that. I don't know what's a wave metaphor.
Cresting the
like Donald Trump's hair,
right?
Yeah, so we're sort of on the top of it.
We're on top of that right now, and then we go slide off of that into his daughter's vagina.
I don't know. This is not the political show.
I don't know. It always comes to me saying something weirdly political.
Yeah, I know. Ever since Trump got elected, you're just fucking throwing Trump in there.
I don't know what to do.
Shoehorns it in. But, I mean, it does seem like true crime podcasts specifically are really the ones that have sort of cornered the podcast market. Why is that? Is this because we're, people are able to explore the dark side of their mind in the privacy of their cubicle at work? Is it because people they felt like it was too taboo of a subject to discuss publicly?
Yeah, but why podcasts in general?
Mm-hmm. I'll take this one.
Thank you.
Thank you. No, I have no fucking idea. It's super weird. I mean, to us, it just feels like we had an idea, so we started doing a thing, and then people got excited about it.
Yeah.
But I do think it's that thing of like an interest like true crime seems like an individual interest.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to kind of, I didn't know my own relatives were into true crime until we started doing this podcast.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't anything I was telling anybody else about.
And I think when
go on, Georgia.
I think when you do a podcast like we do where it's not produced, it's just us talking, they feel like you're friends too, like you're talking to your friends.
And it creates an intimate fan base because people show up and they'll say things about my life that I didn't realize that I talked about.
Yeah.
Oh,
really?
All of a sudden they know a lot of things, like details about my love life, details about where I live.
Yeah.
Got a surprise package in the mail the other day. Someone got my address and sent another thing very similar to the Dybbuk box we got.
Oh, someone called by my phone. I just remembered this.
Someone got your number?
Some fucking drunk DJ in like Saskatchewan was like, he said he was drunk and he's like, we want to ask you about podcasting. Call us back. How the fuck? I don't want me to play it. I forgot this fucking thing happened.
I don't think you have to clarify that he was drunk. We know he's a DJ in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan? He's got to be drunk. There's no denying that. But this is kind of good. People who love true crime, who love the dark side of the world, they're able to kind of come into the forefront now and not feel as if they're in the shadows.
Yes.
And you know, a lot of people, and I'm sure with your guys' show as well, they've sort of created really great bonding friendships over it.
Oh
yeah,
my God.
It's very sweet over murder. It's like they're all making friends over murder.
It's nice, though. It's like it leads to something positive at the very end. Yes, there's so many victims. Mm-hmm. So many friends built on the pile of that, but it's nice.
There's nothing we can do about that part now.
No.
Look,
that's
we can't go backwards. We can't change any of that shit.
All I'm going to say is I can honestly say thank them. I thank them for what they've done.
Oh, the victims?
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the murderers themselves.
And that's what Richard Ramirez always said. He said, one day they'll find love, and I will be the cause of that love.
And they'll thank me.
They'll thank them. No, it's because we've had a lot of weird marriages, which is nice. We've got to ask.
Not weird marriages.
What?
Normal marriages loving people who like weird stuff.
Kind of weird. That's a weird marriage, yeah. I feel like.
But, we've had quite a few people meet through the podcast and then get married.
That's so cute.
Yeah,
I love that.
But just as many relationships of people getting together through the podcast and just having horrific times.
Yeah, yes. Falling apart.
Just absolutely falling apart. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how did lives you guys, run. How did you guys come to find that you guys had a mutual interest in serial killers and macabre?
We were at a Halloween party, Matt McCarthy's Halloween party.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Of course.
You probably know him. And
my body double.
Yes, exactly.
We're literally the same genes at some point.
Yeah. He's a little bit bigger, though.
He's taller. Yes, he is more masculine. That's what you're trying to say.
The McCarthy Zabrowski type is a very strong type in Hollywood right now.
Yes, we're out there.
You are. You really are. So we were at a party, and we didn't know each other, really, but we'd been around each other a little bit. But I told a horrible story that I thought people were going to enjoy in the middle of this party about how I witnessed a couple years ago, there was that terrible car accident at South by Southwest where the guy drove up the street.
Yeah.
I was there. So there was a line of people trying to get into X to see them outside the venue, and I was the last person in line. And then I walked over to my friends to be like, let's not wait in line anymore, and then that car fucking drove up the street.
Fuck.
Wow. So I love that story.
Yeah. And I love near misses are like, how, you know, like what are you, how'd you get out of that?
Right.
Because I'm always thinking about
it's
that.
It's like I thought it was the coolest story to tell, and you should have seen, it was like eight faces that all went white.
Yeah.
And people that were like, I'm going to go get it. People like wandering away, and like from afar, she comes forward with her arm like, oh my God, tell me every single thing that happened.
Right.
And I was like, I love this girl.
Obsessed. And then from there, we just like started talking about the staircase, and then just like went in these fucking like crazy direction. And it's, yeah, there's like so few people you can talk to about this, about true crime, and like they think you're
and
fucking
like
weird.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You just described the listener base of both of our shows.
That's like, right.
Every single one of us have all had that same moment where you just start talking about something, you see everybody in the room, you just see their faces go white, you see them not wanting to hear what you're saying, but you can't stop.
You just have to keep going. Love that story.
I have this thing where like I'll meet someone and they'll tell me where they're from, and I'll say, oh, you guys have some good murders, and they're like, what the fuck are
you
talking about? Right. Or they'll say, oh yeah, we had this one, and it would, like, they'll tell me about it, and then I'm like, oh, you're my friend.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you don't get it.
But it does create really instant bonds.
Yes.
And then you find out who the real, actually good people are. Because I think people.
Well, there are some good people who don't love to know all the murders that happen.
I don't want
to
meet them.
Yeah, well, that's true, too.
Boring.
It's very boring. Life is really dark. Yeah. And so it's like a thing where it's like I kind of focus on that a lot. It's like, you know, my thing was always probably child prostitution rings. Is that when you bring that up in selective things, there are certain people who are all like very much like, interesting.
Yeah.
Which is also probably bad because they're probably involved in the rings.
I don't want to, you know, toot our own horn, but we do have business meetings happening, you know, and Henry always brings up child prostitution.
We go in and we're like going in and it's like, okay, the one thing you can't mention is boy murder.
Noticeably bad in a pitch meeting that we had where we walked in because it was like, we come up with a bunch of like episode ideas. We were trying to pitch a thing, and the first thing I led with was a thing that I thought was really funny, but I just said, it was like episode called Boy Murder, Snip, Snails, and Puppy Dog's Tails. Like, I thought that was really funny, and they just were like,
well, you know what I think is fair? Everyone has their, like, thing that they're into. Like, Karen likes serial killers. I like fucking cold cases. We all have our little things that we like, but you can't fucking pick and choose between, like, if you're going to be really into, you know, sex workers getting murdered, then you can't fucking shy away from boy prostitutes. Like,
no.
You have to fucking.
You cannot. You got to take that. That's just an olive on the pizza.
Yeah. Don't look at me like I'm crazy when you're into fucking.
Wait, the boy is the olive?
One of the olives. If you slice up a boy.
Green or black.
Oh, right. So you just look like a bunch of olives on a pizza.
And olives? Yeah. What are we talking here?
I'm sorry.
Well, also, there's a feeling to me to it of like, hold my hand and we're going to look into the abyss, which is, I'm used used to looking into the abyss by myself. So that
it's
idea,
the abyss is that's where you were saying it starts with that.
Yes.
Where you're like, I was like probably 8 or 9 when I first opened up the Encyclopedia of Serial Killers, and I was just like, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as I saw it.
I feel like we all knew that the world was shit, and now we're just like, and like horrible and scary. And so now we just had to learn about it and understand it a little more. And I feel like safer and like, I'm not trying to fucking ignore my anxiety. I'm like diving right into it.
Well, that's one of the things that we try to do with our shows, to show that like these serial killers, they're not monsters. You know, there's not somebody hiding behind every corner. You don't have to be afraid.
Because, they're fucking losers. And a lot of time,
I don't think we've helped alleviate any fears.
No. I get the emails all the time, you know, people saying that they have, you know, they have less anxiety about all this shit because they listen to us.
I'm more terrified than ever. That's all I know. I've been doing this show for 5 years. I'm a 6'7" man, and I'm still fairly certain somebody wants my skin.
Yeah, you have to be
that.
Here.
I'm pretty terrified. I am constantly now looking at people being like, that guy fucking murdered someone. Like, I'll say that to my husband, Vince, sometimes, like, that guy's a fucking killer, and he's like, what the fuck is wrong with
you? I do that with pedophiles. In my opinion, you're a pedophile until proven not a pedophile.
Totally.
I mean, I was watching George W. Bush's State of the Union the other day. Dennis Hastert's just sitting right behind him. They're all pedophiles.
They are.
Why were you watching?
I watch old State of the Unions.
That is weird.
Are you going to run for office?
No, I don't think I can, because on the last episode, Henry Zebrowski said something very inflammatory, and now I'm complicit.
What did I say?
I don't know.
There's been plenty. I mean, we have talked about the possibility of Ben Kissel running for mayor of New York City.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah.
It'd be very fun.
I'd be deputy mayor and do all the real work.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to do shit.
It'd be like that show Spin City.
Yeah. Or that show Last Podcast on the Left.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, Marcus, that's a deep cut.
I get it. I get it, because I'm a long-standing fan. I actually used to listen to this podcast, not used to, but when I first started listening to this podcast, I was home for Christmas, and I would do this thing where I would go to bed, listen to it, leave the earbuds in, and then it would just play all the episodes. So I would have these dreams that we were all at a party, but you wouldn't let me talk. And it would make me so mad.
And then
you might be like, and it would just be like, you're talking about this topic in the podcast.
You just described my nightmare. I didn't even know what my true fear was, but that's it, without a doubt.
Yeah.
It does feel like that. It does sometimes feel like we're shouting at a group of people. Do you feel like I think you guys, your tone is a little bit more, it's like more conversational, where ours is definitely like, like half the time. Well, my tone.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have big personalities, and I think with three people, it's so much harder than with Karen and I just talking to each other the way we would normally without being recorded.
And we don't have any, not that much accurate information.
Oh, that's not true.
We have to really kind of go around and talk about as much stuff as we can.
Yeah. We have to do a lot more legwork to get over how evil the show is. It's like we have to add something to society to then also attack society, to bring society apart.
We got to provide information. Do you think, it does seem strange. I wasn't expecting so many female listeners, quite frankly, because I'm not attractive and none of us are. But maybe that doesn't matter.
I like me.
I know you like you.
I like me.
You're like John Candy from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. You know, I like me. My wife liked me. By the way, I think his wife was in the box.
Yeah.
That's what I decided.
That.
Yes, that's what I've done. I rewatched that movie. By the way, people driving the wrong way down the road. John Candy did that in Planes, Trains as well. He's a sociopath, and the wife is in the box.
I need some time with that.
I know.
Well, think about it.
You're blowing. I just watched that recently.
Yeah, think about it and rewatch it now, knowing that he's a killer.
He just opens it up and he's being like, "So glad you made it home for Thanksgiving." And he starts having sex with
that. That was not a secret. He only opens the suitcase one time when he's in the hotel room with Steve Martin. He pulls out a picture and a pillow, which is so much creepier to think there's a corpse in there as well. Why does the box need to be that big for a pillow and a picture?
The pillow, it smells like her fucking rotting corpse. Yes. Like sleeps with it at night.
Oh, he smells it like Dennis Hopper in Blue Velvet. I have to smell Becky before bed.
Oh, fuck everything that moves.
I'm so creeped out. What were we talking about?
Has it made you, do you feel more empowered when dealing with the subject matter or less knowing how disgusting this is? Because obviously women tend to be the major victims of the majority of serial killers.
I guess I like the empowerment part of just the interest. It's like you can't do anything about what's going to happen. Fate is fate, whatever. But it's kind of like saying I'm not afraid to face reality.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's that thing of like, things don't have to be nice all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
I like when things are bad in the way that I can be interested in things. I can like things that are gross. I don't know. There's a little bit of that. Like when I was 12 years old is when I saw the map that Ted Bundy had drawn where all the bodies were in his house.
No. Dahmer.
No, Ted. I'm sorry.
Gacy.
If Dahmer couldn't find the bodies in his little ass apartment, he is the worst. He's the worst adventurer of all time.
Marcus just looked like the kid in class where he's just like,
I know the answer. That was the definition of our podcast.
Yes, microcosm of what we do.
That's good.
You do.
We don't have a Marcus Park, so we're just like,
no. I've always been the nerdy kid. Yeah.
He's a little Lisa Simpson.
But it basically, that feeling of looking at that picture and loving it so much and knowing it was wrong and now doing a thing where it's not wrong anymore and actually it's actually very popular.
It's our fucking career now, which is so great.
It's proving that a lot of people, it's not this weird thing. It's not an anomaly.
And I get like, I'm so terrified of like, the more I read about it, the more I'm like, that's not going to happen to me because I know about it. It's this stupid thing. Like if you can imagine something's going to happen, then it won't happen to you.
Yeah. Right. I had an old librarian, which I imagine was like probably a near miss on a molestation scenario with me, where he came to me as I was reading a book. He's like, knowledge is power. Oh. He's explained to me about how, like, if you're afraid of something, you just need to really learn about it. And then first, and then
are you afraid of cock by any chance?
Oh, I love roosters.
Not for me.
Too nerdy.
Yeah, the deeper I get into it, the more, because I'm fucking cynical as shit, and I'm not going to pretend that everything's fine. It's not, and it makes me feel better that it's like, it's not fine, it's okay.
And the world's catching up to us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the joke that Henry was making it all year, is that if Donald Trump gets elected president, the three of us are going to host Good Morning America.
Yeah, like, we move to the center. We're less offensive than the president.
And Good Morning America will start promptly at 2:10 p.m. And like, when the fuck did you wake up, America?
Just sleep a life away. It's
You'll
horrible.
Get your on-camera integration with any beer of your choice.
Yeah, any beer.
It'd be amazing.
Yeah. But Henry is right. Yeah, the world is finally catching, because we've been doing this show for, 5-6 years. We just did episode 250 last week.
Wow.
And it took a long, it wasn't until about maybe a year and a half ago that people finally started paying attention. We always had like a listener base, like a pretty solid listener base, but over the last, year and a half, it's doubled if not tripled.
So weird.
What's your journey been like with my favorite murder? which I did, I just have a Wisconsin tongue. It always adds extra letters to
bullshit.
Everyone. Oh, no, that's bullshit. Okay. what was it like for you guys when you guys started? I mean, you just throw this stuff out into the ether
and
you don't know.
Can we read you a text?
Yes, please.
Karen
yes.
found this text and sent it to me this morning, and it's like, it's super like ass kissy, as Karen said. But
This is from, oh shit, I edited out
I
the
have
date.
It.
Oh no,
October 3rd.
October 3rd.
Of last
Saturday,
year.
October 3rd.
2015?
She sends me a text that says, can we start a true crime podcast? And it says, crime and podismint was your
kid. Crime and podismint.
Oh, I like that. It seems like it's about crime and like a secret herb.
I love making up stupid things.
Of course.
And I wrote back, ha ha ha. But how would we ever compete with those fools on Last Podcast on the Left? They're so great. I'm on John Wayne Gacy now. Well, that's weird. I obviously didn't pay that much attention.
Weird.
And then you said, they don't only do crime. We don't have to give all the info. Just kind of talk about it and give some facts and get excited and say our theories.
That's
literally
exactly
what
that's
happened.
The podcast.
Exactly.
That's the podcast.
I can't believe you fucking found
Isn't that.
That
weird?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
See, we did, the podcast kind of opened up to the side of the paranormal and the occult because that's kind of what Marcus and I's like other real obsession is, and then the podcast became a way for us to become experts. On my behalf, it was like became the perfect excuse of now I can completely dedicate my life to essentially all this fake shit, which is essentially, but it's as real as you want it to be. And I've learned a lot and have grown a lot since then. Like, but that's what's cool. I like that about how all of these things kind of help each other. All these podcasts kind of exist in the same worlds. And like, we can do both.
I think it's just, I'm so fucking stoked that this thing we've been obsessed with on our own for fucking, you know, since we were kids is now something we get to talk about and like people listen to, and it's our fucking job now, and I had idea this would be a thing.
It's unbelievable, right? I'm finally only making money off of the podcast. Yes. I quit my producer job at Fox News because I have to focus on the positive things in life, such as true crime. So what was the first episode that you guys did, and did you guys just like jump right in after that text message?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It was at like that was October, and we started what, in
April?
Was it?
I don't know. March?
I don't either.
We just kind of like, we were having lunch and we were like, what could it be? And we were taking notes and shit, and I was peeing and I was like, my favorite part? Like I remember I was peeing and fucking.
Yeah, I can feel it.
Yes. Wow. Oh my God. I do my best thinking. It was just like all these stupid names like crime and punishment. And then it was like my favorite murder, and we'll fucking talk about our favorite murder that week. And it just went from there. And then I listened to a couple of the first episodes, and you can tell, like, you can hear us like creating this thing that like it wasn't a fully formed thing until like episode 15 or something.
But no one really has a full like that's the trick that nobody really understands. People, some guy tweeted us recently asking us, how do you get started in a podcast? And first of all, I was like, we're full. And then second of all, I was just like,
no longer taking any new podcasts.
Yeah.
And then the second, it was just like, but it's like you have to just make the first step of recording that first thing, and then all of a sudden you can find it, and you have to be willing to make a bunch of mistakes, and then just know it's gonna kind of live there forever. And then if not, and if it's really offensive, in our case, you could just delete it.
Maybe. I have an old one that I would never, like, I had an old podcast that I started, and it would, like, we got really lucky too, because I had another podcast on Feral Audio, and the guy who created that, Dustin Marshall's, just like so cool, and he's such a, like, he has like this punk rock mentality, and I was like, can we start a podcast? And he was like, yes. So he kind of just like got, you know, we just got to record it and put it out there, and he was open to it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool.
And for us, like, I don't think we really figured out what we were doing until I think it's episode 68 or 67.
So we've got like 20 or 30 to go.
Yeah.
Nice. Right.
Or at least I don't think I did. Like the first like research heavy episode was like Satan is, or the Satanic Panic. This book called Satan Silence, which is fantastic if you're interested in that stuff.
Yeah.
That started like the heavy because before the first like 50 or 60 episodes, it wasn't that research heavy. It was like, you know, a couple of hours before the show, you know, a couple of hours of like looking shit up, making maybe a spreadsheet or something. But after Satan's Silence, I was like, oh shit, I love this. Like, I love really getting a lot of information. And then it got to be where like a book, a couple of books, and then it just kind of built from there. And now we're episode, you know, 250, and we're about to do Jack the Ripper. And you can see the stack of books that I have there.
These are not subtly left out. I honestly think he gestures at people several times, being like, do you see the books I read?
There's nothing in those books. All the pages are completely empty.
It's just a flash.
I was working on it earlier, goddammit.
No, they make Jack Nicholson's book in The Shining seem like a masterpiece. There's no words in those.
I can read four books.
Yeah. I can read
That's
seven.
You.
But no, it's got to a point where it's just so much because I love doing it so much.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've always been like a nerdy book kid. So now this is my job, is like being a nerdy book kid. I fucking love it.
And really, like, being the expert, the thing that I've discovered is we have all these people that listen that are so passionate that when we fuck up, it's like, they go like, don't be mad, but actually it's this.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like that thing where, we don't have to be the way we do it, thank God. We don't have to be perfect about it because there are people who are like, die-hard experts that know every date and every stabbing and every single thing.
And that's the thing we seem to get feedback to, and it's never like, you guys are idiots, this is the truth. It's always an addition to the information, and I think that's so refreshing.
Yeah. Except for the shit where they get at us about how we pronounce things.
Oh,
and
God.
Guns. Yeah. And
we
guns.
All
if
of
you
that don't,
guns. If you mess up on a gun, they will tell you. And they are so intricate about these guns.
There's nothing more obnoxious than a gun nerd.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll make a mistake about a caliber
weapon.
Don't
anger them.
There's nothing more dangerous than a gun.
You make a mistake because you don't give a shit. And it's like, if I did, I would have fucking learned it.
Well, it was like, for example, like the Columbine episode where I was talking about how...
Good.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
but you know, really, that was what people really focused in on. I was saying that, you know, they used Tech-9s as their long-range weapons. And they did. They did actually use Tech-9s for their long-range weapons. And I got so many emails and tweets like, the
Tech 9 is a shitty gun for a long-range weapon. I think you got that wrong. I'm like,
yeah,
no,
it's
because they're shithead kids. It's, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. They still use Tech 9.
You didn't get that wrong. They got that fucking wrong.
Exactly, yeah. Fucking Cleveland.
I heard
the
Tech 9 wasn't a long-range weapon. That's all I know. I don't think it's a long-range weapon.
I'm just happy those...
great for me.
Yeah, those Columbine kids, it was the one thing that they got wrong.
Yes.
I love it. Everything else is spot on.
Fucking so good. Down to the outfit.
Someone's going to fucking think you're serious about that and fucking rip you out. Like, it's normal. We get so many, not so many. The majority of the people that we get commenting and shit are the fucking coolest. Like, the listeners are the fucking coolest people. Yeah. And then there's one person who doesn't fucking get it. Like, someone thought we were Republican because we made jokes about.
We're all over the map.
It's crazy.
People tell us that we're number one cuck. I get the word cuck sent to me like five or six times.
I don't even want to hear that word ever again.
It's meaningless. It's so
means
stupid.
Nothing.
Stupid.
But also, then we're called like Nazi. It's like all over the. They don't know what to say. They just got mad. They got upset about something. They want to attack us. I mean, it's like, I just lean in. That's what I do.
I want to ask you guys what you feel your most controversial episode was, because I know going to that, to sort of hearken to your point, Henry, we did Black Serial Killers, and we knew for a fact that, you know, people on the left oftentimes will want to, you know, put individuals on a pedestal and be like, there's no Black Serial Killers. People on the right don't care. That's why it's not talked about. Mm-hmm. And so that's why Marcus did such a great job, and Henry, with researching that episode. But we did get a lot of flack. People are like, that's a racist episode, when in reality, no. These people exist, and their community deserves to have some light shown on it.
Well, we got a lot of flack from white people.
From white people.
Yeah.
Of course, because we have a very great, I don't even want to say the word diverse, because I think that the word is overused, but we have a great group of people listening. Did you guys ever find a subject matter?
I can't wait for the apology tour.
What am I apologizing for tour? what am I apologizing for tour? Let me know.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met. Of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It says here I have to talk about something I need to get off my chest, and I guess I can share it here. I eat mayonnaise for fun. It's a hobby of mine, and it's an addiction. And it's a daily weight on my life, how much I need whipped egg whites and oil. Crammed into my veins as soon as I wake up. And a lot of people carry around a lot of different stressors, big and small. Some people are presidents. Some people are soldiers. Some people have to eat mayonnaise, especially with hard-boiled eggs, which is what I eat for lunch. But I guess I should share that in therapy, because therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And what I do is I just add eggs if I have mayonnaise left over. I just continue to add the eggs. But if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I hope they can help me. My God. I hope they can help me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/lastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/lastpod. No matter what kind of work you do, how you communicate is key. All those emails, reports, and presentations are equally important to the collaboration needed to get things done. And Grammarly can help. Grammarly is your AI writing partner to help you communicate more effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact at work. And isn't that what matters most? Better writing means a stronger impact. Grammarly works across 500,000 apps and websites. You can't escape it. Like the ever-pervasive octopus of malice that is the NSA. Grammarly is watching your every move, making sure that you're doing it right. Data privacy and security are woven into the foundation of Grammarly, into the very essence of its nature. Grammarly is a secure AI writing partner, and it helps your team make their point and move faster, because that's the key there. Work smarter, not harder. Yes, Grammarly. You know how many times it saves me from writing a long, rambling, one-sentence email at 4 o'clock in the morning to my beloved employees? Makes me sound like someone who doesn't just have a BA in theater. All right, I was taught how to be a tree. I was not taught how to survive as an adult. All right, my job was to cry in front of a weird Southern man who just told me all sorts of weird stuff about my body. I didn't learn how to write. So thank you, Grammarly, because you're making me the boss I gotta be to motivate my team to get out there. And, oh, man, you don't want to mess with them. Thanks, Grammarly. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors. It's a waste. Don't waste hours on apps. Besides appetizers, that's the kind of apps I like. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Did you know that empanada is already Spanish? I didn't. Thanks, Babbel. Did you know that burrito is already Spanish? Wow! I just got to learn all the rest. And eventually, I'm going to be eating downtown Mexico. Thanks, Babbel. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at Babbel.com/left. Get up to 60% off at Babbel.com/left, spelled Babbel.com/left. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Any subject matter that you guys were like, oh, we shouldn't have talked about that, or we talked about that, we weren't expecting the blowback that we got?
People don't like children. They don't like heavy details of children getting murdered. Blah. And I know. And they fucking hate animals getting murdered. Yes. But I don't think they're mad about it. And it's like, I have this thing of like, if you're gonna fucking research it, you should know everything about it. Like, I won't research a murder and not look for crime scene photos, because I think that's fucking dick of me to like, I can only dive in this deep, and no, I should fucking understand the details, you gotta and see, I think they don't like really gross details.
The one thing that really hit me with about crime scene murder specifically was going into O.J. Simpson when we did the O.J. Simpson episode.
You have to look at that.
Because you don't really realize the ferocity of which brutality. That she was murdered. She was basically decapitated.
Yeah. Yes.
And when you look at that and be like, oh, wow. Somebody was really pissed off.
I think everyone needs to fucking see those photos. And, oh, God, the fucking Ron Goldman slumped in the fucking bushes. Like, I think you need to see that photo.
And you know he did such shitty karate to defend her.
Well, he's an actor working as a waiter in L.A. O.J. Simpson's a professional athlete, one of the best of all time, but there he had, was like, no chance.
But he had, like, a green belt, and all those pictures of him, like, doing karate. Like, he was, and him just going, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And
oh,
then,
honey,
God.
You know it was on his, like, resume. Like, I can do karate. I'm sorry. God damn it.
No, we just, in the beginning, we were getting a lot of, comments about how we need to be intersectional feminists.
Can you explain that?
No, I cannot.
Okay.
I personally resent shit like that, because it's like, it's cannibalizing when there's such a huge enemy out there.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you fucking doing? But we've made some mistakes. Like, recently we said something talking about a trans person,
right,
and we said it incorrectly, and the people, whoever heard it, took it like we meant it as if it was
derogatory.
Yeah, they took it in a derogatory way. So in that used to piss me off, but now it has that feeling of like, either you don't know us, or
right,
we just need to do this more so you understand where we actually
are. And I'm really scared of like, not, I want to be diverse in my murders. I don't want to just do, you know, the thing of like pretty white women who get killed. It's just like, no.
Do they get killed?
Yeah. It seems like
where is it happening?
I know.
It must end.
It's just, you know how those are covered more Florida. Than anything else. So I don't want to do those all the time, but I also don't want to be like, you know, sensational and talk about I don't know. It's just
There's a lot of ways to fuck up.
There's a lot of ways to fuck up.
No, I got on the opposite side of what you were talking about. I got called a social justice warrior on our
That's a bad thing.
Yeah. I guess so.
On our manifestos episode, because we were covering Elliot Rodger, and I kind of went off on a tirade. It's like, if a girl does not like you, it is your fault. Like it is your fault. You are doing something wrong. Yeah.
If every girl doesn't like any girl.
Yeah. If a girl does not like you, it is your fault.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you can be really charming.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes
but
she's
if there's a guy on an
very
Elliot...
Defensive.
very defensive.
And that's exactly what people got mad about because Ben got defensive. And I was like, no. If a girl does not like you, it is your fault.
I'm wearing my best soap because I don't shower it off. I always say I'll have a little bit of soap left on me. So what's wrong with that? Yeah.
Apology tour 2019. It's going to be 9 months
What am I apologizing for?
but they didn't... Yeah, but they called me a social justice warrior. And said that I was awful for saying that.
Right.
And
how funny is it that you're just being fucking not a piece of shit, dude, and that's a social justice. Like, it's like you're being a liberal or you're being fucking politically correct and really just being a good fucking person.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I got tweeted at by a guy the other day who I think his name was Proud White Boy.
Oh,
and he had
a big
swastika.
Very proud.
He had a big swastika and a noose as his tweet, you know, as his profile picture.
Wow.
And it was just something like, hey, here's this video, here's this series about the real Adolf Hitler. And it was like an 8-part series of YouTube videos.
I feel like not
and he's like, love the show.
Oh, like, no.
Love the show.
Again, an eclectic group of individuals. It's not solely fan-based.
I feel like not enough men, white men, are proud of their whiteness anymore.
I've
like,
been saying this.
I'm kidding.
I've been saying this over and over again. Be proud. Yeah. I go to any white homeless man. I go, be proud. Is that controversial?
Yeah.
No. I the other day on Twitter, was about to respond to someone who wrote to us very critically, and I was gonna do all the colors of the rainbow middle fingers, and then I just went, oh, this is giving them what they want, because when people interact in a negative way, they always get a response.
Right.
It's like you're always, especially I think in comedy, you're always ready to fucking snap back and like try to, you know, put someone in their place, whereas there's all these people who are like, your show, it makes me so happy. I never even think of like going, hey, personalized response for you.
Yeah.
But of course, the second someone's criticizing, it's just
that's
like
all
that shitty way to get attention.
I only respond to the positive. I always mute the negative because I will make O.J. Simpson look like a priest. Wait, that's not good.
In the
perfect world where priests are good people.
Well,
apology tour number two in 2021 is going to be so much better than the 2019 one.
You know what's really cool too is that, so I do the Instagram and I'm obsessed with it, and some asshole will say some shitty thing and I'll go to respond, and then like fucking 10 listeners will have already ripped that fucking person apart.
Right.
And I don't need to say shit, and it's awesome.
My mom taught me the most subtle best way to punish someone is shower with affection, then silence. I see silence. And so that's what you do, is that you pick and choose, and they can see then through your whole feed who you've chosen to respond to and who you don't choose to respond to.
Right.
And every once in a while, if I'm really hammered, I'll respond to a negative thing, but normally I do it funny.
This is the same mother that fed the dog to death.
Yes. Okay. She fed the dog till it was 230 pounds.
No.
And then
it was a chihuahua.
No.
It was a chocolate lab. The vet refused to see the dog anymore because she wouldn't listen to my mom's, like, basically he would say, like, you have to put this dog on a diet. Mom said, you have no idea what you're talking about. I know how to take care of this dog.
Oh, my God.
Dog's at 230 pounds. Dog can't move anymore. And then my mom's like, we decided to put, the dog is just so upset that we had to put it to sleep. And so then they killed the dog. She fed it really big and then she gassed it to death.
My fucking shit, man. I was gonna say motherfucker, but that's too spot on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fuck.
I mean, so the conversation that seems to be occurring from these podcasts is really relevant, right? Because it seems to be translating to real life, you know, actions. I mean, we're selling out all these shows, and I'm sure you guys are meeting these people in real life. I wonder, you know, with radio is dead.
You know, and without podcasts, I wonder what the country would be like, specifically when it comes to these sort of conversations about true crime. I think they would still just all be underground, right?
Well, I think one of the interesting things about these true crime shows, and I think one of the reasons why they are popular, is because things are better now than they've ever been, violent crime-wise. Mm-hmm, like, violent crime is at its lowest level.
Except we got two new serial killers coming out.
Yeah, but that's in
the White House.
Yeah, we got two new serial killers. But I think there's a lot less people that are extremely intimately in touch with death. Mm-hmm. And so I think people are kind of allowed to be a little bit more fascinated by it.
You know what I think, too, is like up until, I feel like our podcasts do this thing. Well, so there's so many dramatized shows about true crime. Like everything about mm-hmm. true crime on TV is like a fucking crazy reenactment that's super depressing and it talks like this and it's insane. And then like a lot of the, you know, the produced podcasts are really dark and fucked up. But then you're not talking about it in a way that people like us really like. The way we talk is
it's just
different
nice
than that.
To joke mm-hmm. around.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah,
it's just nice to feel like I can be me.
Make fun of it. Yeah.
This is me. Yeah. And now please accept me.
Yeah, I think more people kind of identify with the way we do it that are just like fucking sick fucks like we are.
Well, sort of going back to Marcus's point. I mean, the way and to your point, the way that they cover these true crime things on like Forensic Files and whatnot, they make mm-hmm. them seem like masterminds. But again, they are just mentally insufficient individuals who have no social skills whatsoever.
The weakest thing in the world to do is murder somebody.
It's
literally the
you got to do the long con. You got to marry them.
Yes.
Slowly poison them to death and then get the money.
Build up that arsenic.
Yeah,
that's it.
Oh, no one saw going.
Put it in with the yellow Powerade.
That's what that song Step by Step's all about. I think.
Or just slowly murder them.
Is it Step by Step? Step by Step.
Oh, day that's New Kids on the Block.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, New Kids.
There we go.
Cool. But anyway, so do you feel like it's leading to a world where these serial killers aren't as empowered as they were before? Because everyone's just making... No?
Are we taking away their power? No. Is that what
I think we're taking away their power. By talking about them, you take away their power and just... they just have terrible breath. Like Richard Romero. I mean, BTK stood too close to plants on a regular basis. I mean, these guys are just idiots who don't know how to, you know, take care of themselves.
You're going to get murdered as fuck, dude.
Me? Yeah. I'm a 6 foot. I think I'm going
to. I am not pro that because I don't want him to get murdered, but it will be great for our numbers.
It will be bad.
I don't mean that. I don't want him to be the one who goes.
I'm not going to get murdered. I do worry.
Wait a second. If you don't want him to be the one who goes, then that means you want me to be the one who goes.
No, essentially, it should be me. I'm the one who would have the most maximum impact if I die.
That is true. You have been on TV. No, he's been on TV more.
I've been on TV more. You count more if you've been on TV
more. That's
true.
Exactly right. I am nervous of like pissing off a murderer for sure. Like, I did a cold case recently, and I was like, the guy who did it is clearly this guy who's like alive and a fucking like attorney. And afterwards, Karen was like, you probably shouldn't have said his fucking name, dude.
No, we did that on the air. I was like, and so all of this is actually just hearsay, and we don't know what we're talking against. I was like, it's a cold case. Andy's an attorney. Yeah.
Let's just not say for definite.
For
we're sure.
Or maybe just we're joking. That's
Keep
funny.
His name. I mean, it hadn't even hit me, and I'm like, oh, shit.
That's how we're learning, those kinds of experiences.
Yeah. I insinuated that a certain building owned by the NSA should be destroyed in downtown Manhattan.
I don't think you insinuated it. I think you said it exactly like that.
I said it in a joking, satirical manner, that that's a thing that should be done if we really want to take back control.
Well, the manifesto, whoever does that, is going to fucking talk about Henry Zerbowski being the culprit and the one who told him to do
Jesus,
it.
Is it bad to
that
say?
That is my worst nightmare.
That's actually good for my dream.
In a manifesto.
That's good for the
that is the absolute
that is
worst.
My that is dream. My dream. What are you talking about? What a credit. I actually showed up in a man's impression. We talk about it. We're friends with Jeff Ross. Jeff Ross was friends with because he's through Ed Larson, who's his cousin, who does Roundtable and Gentlemen. They worked all the time. Jeff Ross was in the Richard Dorner manifesto. He gave a shout out to him, just
That's
being like,
right.
"Okay, here's one of my favorite comedians, Jeff Ross." And they had a blast with it. I was laughing his ass off, but you know,
that's
there was
amazing.
A couple comics listed in that manifesto, right?
Jay Leno, Kevin Hart,
Louis C.K. might have been in there.
I think so. Yeah,
Jeff Ross would be like, "I'm like honored that I'm like amongst these other people." Thank you.
Yeah,
but again, no women. Come on, you motherfuckers!
That's the problem.
I'm so sick of this women in comedy problem.
Let me ask y'all, have y'all ever gotten some really, like, seriously disturbing emails or contacts or anything like that?
We don't read our emails anymore. No, well, we kind of do. No.
Dick pics?
Dick pic? No.
No, nothing really overtly sexual?
Well, I think that we do this thing where we ask...
I'm sorry that I sounded
Yeah, you sounded really excited.
So you're getting some kind of sexual nature message?
A.K.A. Did you get my email? Did you get my fucking email?
You sending them dick pics?
Yeah,
No. It doesn't look good on camera.
We ask listeners to send in their hometown murders of like the fucked up thing that happened when they were kids. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, so I think people are just like so into emailing that they don't email like crazy shit. Like some of those fucking emails are crazy, but I think people seem, I mean.
And there's a couple that are like, this is my friend or this is the kind of that are personal where we don't want to go into that because it's like, this isn't about us bringing anyone to justice. Like we don't want to get into, you know
you
what
guys
I mean?
You're going to become the new law enforcement. Mm-hmm. You do understand
you think
that, right?
So?
In the next administration, you guys could bust up a real crime. Like you
get
could
a
actually.
Badge.
What if we're head of the fucking crime thing? What's a crime thing? We're head of it.
Crime things.
CSI.
CSI. NCIS.
Fucking Karen and Georgia.
Just outfits.
Oh, so many cute outfits.
Wow. Yeah. So many hats.
Power suits and shit.
That's the best reason to get into law enforcement.
Is the outfits?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love a good belt.
Yeah.
And I like to. I feel like a little fat Batman.
Have you thought about getting into UFOs to help me get that across to more people?
I hate UFOs. Stories. Yeah. I hate
Thank
it.
Cult.
You.
I don't care about a cult shit. I'm sorry.
I understand.
I love a cult and I love cryptozoology. I love anything else. UFO makes me feel like I'm going to start screaming.
It's infuriating because none of it makes sense and everyone should just like get up, change out of your sweatpants, and go get a job.
I'm just saying.
It makes sense if you let it make sense.
You have to let it make sense.
Yeah. I like conspiracy theories a lot, and so like sometimes when it's a UFO thing and it ties into a conspiracy theory, I'm into it. Right? But,
Do you got a favorite conspiracy theory?
Oh, I love the one that Paul McCartney died in a car accident and like fucking in the...
Love all of that. Love the fake Paul McCartney.
He did.
True. Mm. I wish. And he got replaced by a fucking dude that they like, they made, he like was a, he won a lookalike contest and they like gave him plastic surgery and for fucking years after the first album, that wasn't Paul McCartney. He died in a fucking car accident.
Oh, like, Wings? Oh, that makes sense.
Oh, I agree with that.
I get that.
There's actually, it's funny, Elvis Presley, he's dead. And there's a great documentary called Orion on Netflix right now about this dude who looked just like Elvis. He sang just like Elvis. And they put a mask on him 2 years after the passing of Elvis, after all the rumors that he was still alive.
I've got a couple of Orion records.
Oh, dude.
No way.
Yeah, they're actually pretty solid.
That's cool.
I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Do you think it was him?
It could be him. It wasn't. He actually ended up dying in a very sad, tragic shooting. But,
yeah, of course.
No. That's how he died.
Nonetheless, the Paul McCartney thing makes a lot of sense.
There's an episode of, I think it's Thinking Sideways, where they do that, and I'm just like, I was obsessed with it.
I love
that's
it.
So fun. Yeah.
I do like it because that's my whole thing. I like the idea of that you could fuck with reality really easily. That's all it is to kind of entertain that idea.
Why couldn't it be true?
Absolutely, because then you open up a whole avenue of thinking that Paul McCartney isn't real, and so that means it's like if you want to get a gun. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that's dangerous. And then a guy ends up outside a Comet Pizza with a gun.
I mean, you know what else? He is Paul McCartney. At this point, is he not Paul McCartney? Because Paul, if you know
exactly,
he is Paul McCartney.
You're on your way to being a chaos magician.
You actually don't understand. You're actually, that's deep occult
thinking. You know what
thinking.
I'm saying, dude?
Yeah. Going with it.
I fucking love, Berenstain Bears shit. I fucking love.
Oh, yeah. The Mandela effect.
I fucking love it.
I love the Lincoln Credit Union.
Oh, for sure.
Oh,
it's so horrifying and real. I mean, now it seems real.
Oh, yeah,
now it just seems like.
Did you see who took Johnny?
Yes.
I can't watch it.
It's very brutal, but it's real.
Do you believe that dude, though? The fucking, the guy, you know, the guy, what's his name?
I'm
not good with names.
The
dude who came in and got fucking deposed, and he was like, he was part of this
part
sex
of the
ring.
Thing.
He
it's
just
not
seems
Johnny
so full
Gosh.
Of shit.
It's not, it's like McGecky.
Yeah.
Marshnecky.
Yeah.
I can't remember. It's been so many years.
Dirt Rodriguez. That, I think anyway. That he.
Did you, what was the final name?
Dirty Rodriguez.
Dirty Rodriguez. That was the name. That you chose. This is a victim we're talking about?
No. It was a victim turned aggressor. I actually I completely believe in it.
Yeah.
I think that there is a part of the U.S. government that we've talked about this a couple times that uses that as a way, as a smokescreen in order to blackmail people, in order to get them to do what they need them to do.
Absolutely, man. That's the whole thing. I mean, Jared Fogel, when he was arrested, no one remembers, he was texting a company to give him a boy, give him a girl. He texted a company.
What company?
I don't know.
Hershey. Let's fucking say it.
It was Hershey. It comes from the Nestle plant. Absolutely. But no one was like, they're like, oh, he's going to get a 6-incher in prison. Lol. Who was he texting, and how? Who was delivering him these children?
That's right.
And there's the pipeline from foster care and those sorts of things that go right into it. Dennis Hastert again. The government's, oh, they're all disgusting.
Yeah, but that's like, but that's also dismissing the fact that like it's so fucking easy. Like he was screaming like 14, 16 year olds. That's like dismissing the fact that that's probably really fucking easy in some states. Like that's not a complicated thing that you need to fucking write a fucking text message to a company. You can just go like to the fucking Craigslist and find that.
Have you, Georgia, is this personal experience?
I feel like this.
Just believe her. Believe her.
Yeah, listen, I had a rough childhood. And I don't want to fucking talk about it.
We all were forced to work early. I mean, that's a part of what gave me a backbone. Yeah. Tell me to work hard. I think that it's obvious. It's in plain sight. And the fact that there's certain things that have already happened that are very much so like that. You know, I mean, like 9/11 was obviously, in my head, was
your
allowed to happen.
Your 9/11 episode. Anytime I tell people to listen to your podcast, which is all the time, I'm fucking go to 9/11 and fucking JonBenet. Those are the fucking best episodes.
So thank funny because JonBenet is the other one we get the most pushback on.
Yeah. Really? By far the one we get the most pushback on.
Oh, people don't want to hear about fucking dead kids.
They don't want to.
Not fucking dead kids, but dead fucking kids.
Wait,
they don't want to hear about
but pushback on your theory about it?
No. Both the theory and just our temperament in general and handling the case.
Oh.
The fact that we are what has been called irreverent.
Irreverent?
No, that's not the word.
I don't know.
I have to say, your impression of Charles Ng got me through a very difficult time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And part of the reason I was laughing so hard is because I was thinking of the people who would be so infuriated.
Horrified. It's just so
and
dumb.
You going, I am telling you that I listened to a recording of his voice and this is how he talks, and knowing it would matter.
It does not matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But then
he's a killer.
You just have to own up to the space. You just see like we're doing.
It made me so happy that like I'm part of the. I'm not just listening to this thing. I'm talking about it. It's just like so fucking horrifying and awful. And I'm like, I'm laughing at this. And that's the kind of person I am. And I'm fucking so glad I'm me.
But you're right. People were defending a multi-torture murderer.
Yeah.
Dungeon murderer. Yeah. Where it's like, how dare you be racist against Charles Ng? And it's like, you do realize like he dug a pit. And he took videos. Like, he's the worst person.
And Henry's a character actor who was performing in an arts.
And you don't realize that was a really good accent.
It was an amazing.
Like, very consistent. With it.
I actually think, in my head, and this is, if it was appropriate, if this was a different time, if you could put some makeup on me, I would play Charles Ng in a film, and I would do it very well. Yeah. And I'm not saying like just cartoony. There was depths in there.
Yes.
I have emotions for the character of Charles Ng that I played in, because it did really was just a man that did not understand where he fit in life and was angry about it.
Yes.
But
maybe it'll come back to that time, though.
Just wanted to demand friendship.
Yes. Demand friendship.
From other people.
Yes.
And tell them what he's going to bring to it.
Yeah.
I mean, and who doesn't want to know that up top?
Yes. Yeah. If only it were that easy for all of us.
I wish I was that confident that I knew what I was going to bring. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I don't
know. What do you guys bring to each other's friendship?
I'm always on time.
I'm never on time.
There it is.
Hi.
I'm sorry. Vulnerability.
That's a good answer.
So you're the icy one?
Uh-huh. That's right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is your friendship, are you guys like really close now from traveling all the time and doing work together all the time? Is it like a thing where you feel like you're still...
I feel like we've moved apart.
Yeah.
Wow.
No.
Well, you have to have alone time.
We just started traveling together, so...
And you learn a lot about a friend when you travel. We have all learned, and it was good. It's really cool. It has really helped our friendship once we learned how to travel with each other.
Yeah.
And we'll also, because George is married, so we don't actually, it'll be like, oh, we're going to go on this day. We don't have to do a lot of that stuff.
I'm kind of doing that. I kind of do that on purpose, though, because I just got off of like a fucking 7-year career with my friend Allie Ward, where that's all we fucking did, and it like kind of made us insane traveling together. It's really fucking hard.
It is hard.
I'm kind of trying to maintain this thing. Like when Karen and I get into fucking Brooklyn, we're so happy to see each other because like... people are fucking dicks when they're traveling. Like, you're a different person, and I don't want to put that on her.
Yeah.
And so.
Or just, like, forced time together.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's weird because, like, when we started, I had this job that took up all my time and made me very tired and also made a lot of my stories that I recorded terrible. But it's that kind of thing where it's, like, we didn't really have the time to do extensive hangouts or any of that. And I think it's, like, I don't know, it's that keep it fresh thing that I think is actually helping us.
Yeah.
Because we don't... I try not to take her for granted or like take the situation for granted, because it's like, it's almost like, oh, I have to go do the thing that earns me money and then I get to go do the thing I love.
Yeah. And when we do have hangouts, they're fucking awesome too. So.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
It's about rolling with everybody's lives and not being dramatic. Yeah. That's what I've found in this business. Just roll with everything. And because it's just going to be insane. Yeah. There's so many different variables happening.
And we've both been in duos a couple times. So we kind of know the dynamic and how it's really fucking
the pitfalls.
Yeah. So yeah. I think we're in a good place to like work well together.
Well, Marcus and I always enjoy traveling together. I get airplane drunk, which is drunk like I'm on the ground, but I'm in the air.
It's the party row.
It's a problem. Yeah. I thought you were going to say it's a problem. The last time we were on a plane ride or one of these plane trips, that thing was about to go down. And Marcus was so scared. And I was like, we're going down. And I thought it was a really fun moment for us. Remember how scared you were?
Yeah.
I was like, the worst thing that could happen is we die. And you're like, I know, Ben. And I'm like, yeah, bro. Take it down.
And I'm sitting there telling him, like, for the first time in my fucking life, everything's working out. Everything's good. God damn it. You want us to die now.
Take it down.
Over the Atlantic Ocean.
I'm on a separate plane, like,
HGTV. I never get into a situation where I haven't already thought about the way I'm going to die in it.
Yeah.
So,
oh,
like,
of course.
It's just there, always there. Mm-hmm.
I just know that if I die early, it's great career-wise.
Famous as fuck from there on out.
That's the problem. Yeah. Is that I know that, so I'm jealous of my ghost.
But you know, the thing to think about is, if the plane goes down, are you the most famous person on it? Because if not, nobody gives a shit.
Well, I will be as soon as I slit everyone's fucking throats before it goes down. So then the guy who killed David Bowie on the plane, or whatever, John Favre, if he's on my plane, if I kill him before it lands, I'm a winner.
That would be creating crashing plane slasher.
That is the best. There was only one survivor. Instead of holding hands and everyone crying and like, oh, I love you or whatever, just being like,
and then the plane evens out and you're like, oh shit.
Oh, sorry, I killed you. I'm so sorry.
Sorry.
Hashtag my final wish. But that is one of the interesting things, and we'll wrap it up here, but one of the cool things about covering all this true crime, it does make you less afraid of death. I really believe it.
Yeah.
I'm still just as afraid of death.
My anxiety, like before we did this, and I would stay up all night looking at crime scene photos and reading about fucking death and watching these shows anyways, and then I'd have to take a break because I got so depressed and fucked up and like scared. But now it's my job, and so it's not as bad. It's like I have to be reading about all these horrible things. So that's how I solved it.
Getting paid to get scared is pretty much a dream come true.
Totally. That's what I wanted, except does Marcus gets really, really sad when it comes down to all the child's being bad.
Yeah, that fucks me up real bad.
I did have a therapy obsession recently where I was like, she's like, well, what are your triggers? And I'm like, oh, reading about fucking getting killed all the time.
Yeah.
I need a break.
Well, what do you do for your living? Yeah. I mean, like, I do a thing about people getting murdered all the time. It's like, so you're a mess?
Yes.
Like, thank you.
That explains everything.
Well, for me, the really hard ones, like, for example, the last episode was Children of God, or we're still in the middle of the Children of God episode, but the last one was about all of the incest, pedophilia, molestation, all of that type of stuff. So when I'm researching the episode, like, I'm just going forward, like next step, just got to get to the episode. We record the episode and then I edit it. Yeah, I edit the episode, I press release, and then it's just full on, like it all sort of comes in and it all just overtakes me. And sometimes it'll be like a day or two where I have to step back and, you know, pretty much just go be alone.
Well, when you really know what the world is like and what really happens, and you can't pretend it's not, and every person you see on the street and every story you hear, you're fucking thinking of it from that perspective.
Yeah.
It does get you. If you're already prone to depression, which I think we probably all are, it fucking gets you deep.
Yeah. Oh, did you see that? I'm sure you did the documentary about the survivors of the...
Yeah.
Survivors
of what?
Children of God.
Oh, yeah. So
they're all second generation.
Heavy.
They're all like second generation kids that were born into the cult.
And a lot of drug addicts, a lot of suicide, and I watched that, and then I was like, oh, I'm never gonna watch anything like that again. Like, that's why I can't watch Who Took Johnny, because I don't want to watch a mother who, either whether she's crazy or she's right,
she's a badass.
She lost her son.
Yeah.
So it's just like, that part is so hard. That why go there when it's hard enough?
Well, if you want to watch a really like lighthearted documentary, Dear Zachary.
If I'm feeling down, I toss it on. I'm just like, oh my God, these people.
And then he's a dead child with a Canadian.
Don't ruin the ending.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No spoilers.
The way they tried to like put a happy spin at the end, you're just like, no way, dude.
No way.
We tried the last one. We tried to flip it out at the very end, be like, so.
way. Sorry. Well, that's why at the end of our episodes, we've started being like, so what's the best thing that happened to you this week? Because it's such a bummer to be like, and then they all got molested and died. Thanks right. for listening, everyone. It's mm-hmm. just, you can't do that.
Yeah,
it's
I guess tough. With us, it ended with, and now you're going to hear, next episode, you're going to hear how one of those kids who got molested became Batman. And then live dates coming up. We're yeah. coming to Seattle.
Plug yeah, a little Patreon. Self-promotion at yeah. the end of all that victimization.
Plug the Twitter, yeah. plug the Instagram.
That's it. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for being
thank
here.
Thank you for having
you
us.
Like so we love fun. You. Yeah, we really love do.
You. Yeah, you guys are great.
This is so cool. Thank yeah. you guys.
This was awesome. Thanks can't for tell fucking you. Inspiring us.
Yeah. So many people, thank you guys so much for talking about us on your show. So many people have found us through you and hopefully vice versa.
Yeah.
So it's been wonderful talking with you guys.
Thank you for having us.
So My Favorite Murder, check it out. I said it right. And yeah. I do think I said it right in the first place.
But no, you didn't.
No, you did not.
It's tough to say. We'll say it's tough to say.
I was just going to say Magustalations.
Hey!
Yeah.
And a Hail Keen, everyone.
Hail Satan one. To you.
Hail yeah. Satan yourself. To both of you. Thank
bye.
You. Mm-hmm.
Goodbye.
For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to cavecomedyradio.com.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use 3 kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.